our latest episode on the Denodo Data Vibe series. I'm your host, Neha, and let's welcome our guest this week, Dominic Sartorio, VP of Product Marketing here at Denodo. Dominic is a product leader with extensive experience in the data space, including analytics, data governance and integration, data security, data in the cloud, and related infrastructure software. Welcome to our podcast series, Dominic. We're very happy to have you on board. So before we uncover the various facets surrounding the topic of the hour, if I may say so, that is generative AI or Gen AI, and if whether we can trust it, can you give us a quick introduction about yourself and your role at Denodo?
Thank you, Neha. It's an honor to be here. And so I'm actually rather new to Denodo. I joined the company about 2 months ago, and this is my first podcast here, and I look forward to many more. I've been in the data management space for a long time. Over the last 20 years, I've had product and various marketing leadership roles at various companies, including Informatica, Protegrity, which was a data security company. But I'm really excited to be here at Denodo. I think the technology is great. We have great customers that are just inspiring to speak with and everything they've been able to achieve with Denodo. So I look forward to making a great impact here and including doing a great series of podcasts with you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dominic. So moving towards our topic of discussion for the day. So this sure has been the year for Gen AI, hasn't it? Like, we've seen ChatGPT and how powerful it has become. Organizations are so interested in this nowadays. So what can they do with Gen AI that they couldn't do before with any other AI in the past, according to you?
Yeah, great question. And indeed, it's just about a year ago today where ChatGPT was unleashed on the world, and it took the world by storm. I remember seeing the OpenAI publish that they acquired more users within days than Twitter had after years, or Facebook had after years of being launched. So just the uptake has been incredible. And it didn't take long for enterprises, businesses, and other organizations to ask the question, okay, what can we do with this? How can we take advantage? So, and there's a lot of use cases out there, but it all boils down to really one thing. It's the ability of Gen AI to take a much larger pool of users within an organization and make them data savvy. So no longer do you need to know SQL. No longer do you need to know how to use a business intelligence tool or be an expert in data preparation or even be an expert in just how to use Excel and pivot tables. You just need to speak normal human natural language. And so anybody can prompt a Gen AI with a specific question, and it can come back with an answer based on whatever data is at its disposal. And I think we all know there's lots and lots of data, and it's only growing in many organizations. So that, by and large, is what organizations see, is a much broader pool of users. So true democratization of data and the ability to make everybody data savvy without really requiring any technical skill on their part other than just, the ability to speak normal natural language.
We've seen ChatGPT make some mistakes, though, or rather hallucinations, should I say. So can you describe how this happens and what organizations can do to prevent this?
Yeah, hallucinations, and they can be scary if you use ChatGPT and asked it to tell you about yourself, or, you know, ask me, I asked it about myself, and it comes back with a description of a completely different person. So, but how is that possible? Well, really, it comes down to being a data quality problem. Like any analytics, garbage in, garbage out. So, and ChatGPT itself, at least the public version of it, its data set is essentially just a snapshot of the internet at a specific point in time about 2 years ago, including everything on the internet, from everything on Reddit, most of what's available on social media. And this is not exactly a well-governed data set, right? You're going to have some good useful information, but a lot of disinformation, a lot of opinions, and just a lot of outright lies. So if that's the data set going into a Gen AI, well, then predictably what's going to come out of that AI is not going to be of the highest quality. And that's the hallucinations that we've seen Gen AI produce sometimes. So really, for Gen AI to be useful, you have to trust its results. But to trust its results, you have to trust its inputs. So it really comes down to having a well-governed data set that you're feeding the Gen AI with, where that data itself, you know, is trustworthy, it's accurate, and it's relevant for the domain that that AI is being trained on.
So what other issues and risks should organizations plan for before rolling out Gen AI? And where does agile data management come in the picture here?
Yeah, great question. So definitely data quality and making sure you have a trusted, relevant data set is important. And arguably that's where you start. You know, make sure you identify what is the right data sets that you're going to feed to your Gen AI and make sure it's clean, relevant, and trusted data. Another aspect of that, I call data explainability. Because even with a fully trusted data set, the results that a Gen AI can give you can sometimes be surprising. It may ask you a question where you think you know the answer or you know approximately what it should be, and it comes back with something unexpected. And so I think it's important to build trustworthiness in the Gen AI for it to be able to explain how did it come up with that answer? What data did it look at to come up with that answer? So that data explainability, like explaining how the AI came up with that answer and what data did it look at to produce that answer is important. Now, the public ChatGPT does not have that capability. It's just running a massive algorithm on trillions of data points, and it's very hard to tease out okay what specific variable or which specific data point among trillions produced a result. But the way Gen AI is being implemented in most business scenarios is a bit different. First, it's typically a narrower data set. For example, a Gen AI may focus on customer data and being able to respond to customer service or other customer-facing staff questions about customers. And so it's going to a narrower domain, so it'll be easier to discern what specific data an answer came from. And additionally, the way Denodo is implementing its use of Gen AI is that our integration with Gen AI results in the Gen AI first generating a query, right? It's not going directly to the data set itself. When a user types a natural language prompt into the Denodo data catalog, under the covers, we call the Gen AI to generate a SQL query. Right, the end user doesn't see that. We generate that automatically under the covers. Then that SQL query is hitting a data set, and then the result set is coming back, and Gen AI will then convert that into a natural language response. But because that SQL gets generated, that gives us that explainability. We could see we can connect the dots between the human user asking a natural language question to the SQL that got generated to what data that SQL query produced and what was in that result set and then back. So that greatly helps with explainability, and with explainability you get more trust. So even a surprising answer, you can then demonstrate and show, well, this is how it produced that answer, and you can build trust that way. So explainability is a big one. The final issue I would point out that organizations should prepare for is data privacy. Most of the Gen AI use cases that I've seen out there it often involve handling of customer data, which can include sensitive personal information or employee data or partner data, where, again, you're dealing with individuals. It could be employees of the partner or employees of your corporate customers. And in most of the world, you have data privacy regulations that govern the rightful use of such data and who has rights to see such data, and the subjects of that data have the right to opt out of its usage and so on. So, but Gen AI often results in accessing massive volumes of such data and then generating responses based on that data, which can easily leak sensitive personal information if you're not careful. So fortunately, through Denodo, you can do this as well. So first of all, you can implement data privacy at two levels. You can put access controls on the data set itself, and then just treat Gen AI as you would any other user that has rights to see only certain fields or certain data sets in the clear. But then in addition to that, on the other end of the Gen AI, where the human user is asking it questions, interacting with it, you can also put some controls there to make sure, okay, whatever answer is coming back, is it leaking sensitive personal information about any individual somehow? And that's something we can detect for and then mask that out or otherwise reject the response and not give it back to the user. So that's another thing to think about, is to make sure that you have the right controls in place so that widespread use of Gen AI doesn't result in leakage of sensitive personal information that could create compliance issues for you. So in summary, I think the three things to think about is, number one, data quality, making sure it's a trusted data set, trusted and relevant. Number two is explainability. So if Gen AI produces an answer, so you see what data got used in order to produce that answer, and that helps build trust. And third is making sure you have the controls in place for data privacy so you don't leak personal sensitive information.
That's wonderful. Very well said indeed, Dominic. So I think that is definitely something organizations need to look out for to build trustworthiness in Gen AI before rolling it out. So my next question for you is, how can organizations get started with their Gen AI journey then? Like, any other additional advice from your end?
Yeah, so first, just like anything, any new technology that you're looking at potentially rolling out in an organization, start small. Make sure you can make it work for yourself and your users at a smaller scale before you expand it. And usually there are obvious common sense places where you can start. So I've seen in several of our customers, they start with a customer service or a call center kind of use case. So you provide another interface to those users where they can ask an AI using natural language to understand the history of a customer or the demographics that customer may be associated with. And it's easier for them to ask those questions. Are they going to get a response more quickly than if they had to go into an app or into a BI tool where it may not even be clear where the relevant data is? So the Gen AI lets you short circuit the work of having to use a BI tool or have to issue a SQL query or even have to find where the relevant data is if you didn't already know. Short circuit all that for the casual user who may not be a data engineer or another data expert, and help them be effective. So that's often a good starting point, because generally most organizations by now, their customer data set is something that's pretty well governed and good qualities there. And they probably have good access controls already in place. And it really is just a matter of, okay, let's see what is the net benefit that going down a Gen AI path gives us on this particular data set. And that way you debug your organization's usage of Gen AI using a data set you already trust and are already governing in some way. Then you can expand out to other use cases. So that could be marketing analytics, could be internal business operations, financial operations. So, certainly the use cases are limitless. But start small, start with a data set that's already pretty well governed and trusted. And that way you can then experiment with, okay, what's the net benefit of just Gen AI itself versus some other types of analyzing it? And then based on those results, that can guide you on how to expand, where to go next.
Perfect. Start small before going big indeed. So yep. That makes total sense. So we've discussed the importance of Gen AI and building trustworthiness for organizations. But can you share some practical use cases where Gen AI has been implemented and how this has benefited organizations? For example, can Denodo's query optimization feature help here, like you mentioned earlier?
Absolutely. And one example I already gave, which is that customer help desk or call center kind of use case. Right. You want to remove any friction between the end user who has a question and getting that answer. Some of that friction is they have to launch a BI tool, or they have to launch an app, and it takes time to find the data. They may lack the expertise to issue a query or request the data in the right way. So that's friction. You can also have friction in just not knowing where the data is, and relevant data could even be spread across disparate silos. You can also have friction in just the time it takes to run that query. So all of those frictions, Denodo's has been good at all along, even before Gen AI came along. So the ability for a user using any app or any BI tool, you can point it to our logical layer, any data set that's virtualized, and come back with a query result, regardless of where that data is, how spread out it is across disparate silos. And of course, our query optimization, then we're a lot smarter about where that workload runs and optimizing for how quickly that query comes back. So really all the benefits of Denodo carry forward to Gen AI use cases in that way. And I think all those benefits matter even more for Gen AI. Because going back to why is an organization wanting to use Gen AI, they want to truly democratize the ability to be data savvy, where literally anybody in the organization, you don't need to know SQL, you don't need to have an analytics tool, you don't need to be an expert in how to prep data or use pivot tables in Excel or anything like that. You just need to know human natural language, right? And then you can ask a question and it'll come back with an answer. And whenever there's a use case where that end user who has the question and they need an answer pretty quickly, like another common example I heard is, I'm about to go into a meeting where I'm going to present to my boss or my boss's boss. And I just heard right before the meeting that to make my case more effectively, I'm going to need to have an answer to this question. You know, who are my top five customers, or what are the top five opportunities in my pipeline, or anything like that. And you're thinking, oh, shoot, I only have 5 minutes before the meeting. There's no way I can go look for that answer through whatever tools I have. Well, guess what? You can ask the Gen AI that. What are our top five opportunities in this region? And it'll come back with a normal human natural language response within seconds. So just having the ability to just talk to your data in near real time and get an answer almost as quickly as a human being could have answered you is incredibly powerful. That's real democratization of data across an organization. In any situation where you needed that answer on a timely basis, Gen AI is very good at it. But you need a platform like Denodo underneath, because that data has to be trusted. The queries need to be optimized. The access control security need to be in place. The explainability needs to be there. So everything we talk about on this podcast needs to be there in order for that potential of Gen AI to be a reality in the organization.
So it was great discussing all things Gen AI with you today, Dominic. But before we wrap up our session, I have a short Q&A round for you. So are you ready?
Yeah, absolutely. Go for it.
Perfect. So my first question for you is, how has product marketing within the tech space evolved over the years? And is it any different now? Are there any differences that you see over the past few years?
When I started my career back in the Stone Age and I had hair, not that long ago. But yeah, B2B enterprise software selling and customer engagement was a lot different. So when I got started, the internet was there, e-commerce was a thing. But when enterprise software companies like such as Denodo were engaging with its customers, most of whom are large organizations, it was still very much traditional raising awareness through print media and broadcast media. And then the entire sales process would essentially be handheld. You would have a salesperson or a sales team that was always engaging directly with the prospect. Over phone calls, video calls, or even often visiting in person. And that was the normal way of selling. So awareness was raised in traditional media. And then as soon as you had a lead, get assigned to a salesperson and then engage human to human. That's not a thing anymore. Fast forward 20 years, now a generation raised on the internet has now entered the workplace. They generally don't want to be sold to. They want to be able to get themselves educated about different solutions available in the market, do research on their own, even play with trial versions of product on their own without necessarily having to talk to somebody. And I do it too when I'm looking at technologies that I want to use for my work. The place I'll start is I'll Google it, right? Or I'll go to LinkedIn, or you know, I'll go to various online communities and maybe ask my peers, oh, what are you doing for a problem like this? And then I might find different vendors' websites. I look at the free trials that are available on their website. And it's only after I've done my own research and I'm sincerely interested in potentially purchasing this product, or I may have a lot of questions, then I will want to engage with a sales team. So I think you're finding that's very typical. So top of the funnel is low or no touch, right? And you got to have enough content out there digitally on social and in various communities. And then the human interaction comes later in the sales cycle. So visiting your booth at events or meeting with a sales team or some other way where you're interacting with the people directly. So that's a huge change. And you still see some companies, old school companies, are still kind of struggling with this. And it is a culture change in many organizations. Fortunately, I think Denodo is getting this right. You know, we've got podcasts like this, which are a big part of how buyers today get themselves educated before typically they actually want to talk to a sales team.
Definitely. Thanks, Dominic. So we've discussed, you know, how product marketing has evolved and within the tech space and how things are different now. But how has your role evolved over the years due to these changes?
Yeah, it's definitely had a change to mirror how buyers buy. So it changes in how do you craft your message, right? And the fact that you have a core value proposition and core differentiation versus other vendors or alternatives, that does not change. I mean, that's marketing 101. You need to have a message that appeals to the buyer and it needs to be differentiated. What has changed is how do you frame that message? And how do you get that message in a place where your target buyer is actually seeing it, right? So again, it's not traditional print or broadcast media anymore. It's going to be social media. It's going to be your website. It's going to be syndicated media. Also a lot of influencer marketing. If your target buyer has never heard of you before, they're not going to naturally come to you and find you, but there may be other people out there, industry experts, analysts, and others who they do trust, and you want those people talking about you. So you got to think through, okay, in a climate where the buyer doesn't want to be sold to, and they want to do their own research in more or less an offline way or a low-touch way, how do you get your message out there in a place where they're going to find it? And that's its own skill set. Right? Like how do you get your message out there so it's viral on LinkedIn, right? Or how do you get influencers to want to talk about you and believe that you are relevant? That's its own set of skills that, you know, maybe 20 years ago just weren't as important to be successful here. But they're table stakes important now.
Definitely. I have to agree with you that I think nowadays the whole approach towards product marketing has become more holistic. I mean, it was to a certain extent before as well, but nowadays, like, rather than just, you know, talking about your product, there's so many more avenues that we can explore so that our message reaches our target audience in the right way, for sure. So this was a wonderful episode. Thank you so much, Dominic. It was really good speaking to you today about all things product marketing and Gen AI.
Well, great. And thank you for having me. I enjoyed this.
And a quick message to our listeners. If you've enjoyed this episode, please head over to www.denodo.com/podcast to find out more resources on all things data.